Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. This morning, I want to tell you about one of my favorite college professors. His name is Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, and Pastor Dan and I both had the privilege to learn under this awesome apologist and theologian in our time at Concordia in Irvine. And you know, what I loved about Dr. Rosenblatt is he had this ability to teach theology and faith with such realism. You know, he would take these theological concepts and he would explain them in easy-to-understand terms or these examples from everyday life. And, you know, probably a big part of it as well, he was such an interesting guy. You know, some of you might know who he is, I don't know, but he's maybe 5 feet tall. He's like maybe 5 feet tall. He smoked like a chimney, and he had a scowl on his face like everywhere he went. He was just such this interesting guy. But you know, at times he seemed to be this oddity, but what struck me about him time and time again was the way he spoke about the gospel. I would listen to this man teach, and he would talk about the work of Jesus, and he wouldn't be able to contain himself and hold back the tears in his eyes. It was just a beautiful thing to see. And yet at other times, this little man would fire up with all this energy and confidence and get right up in your face, and you're like, stand back a little shell-shocked, not realizing what he could actually do. But it was during those times that Dr. Rosenblatt taught me something that I would never forget. He taught me about the confidence that we have in Jesus. He taught me that we're not reliant upon our own work. You know, our salvation doesn't depend on what we had for breakfast or how we're feeling about things that particular morning. Our salvation doesn't hang in the balance. You know, we're not in and out of God's grace 12 times before lunch. Rather, our salvation is secure in the work of Christ alone. And in that, we can be confident. This morning, we reached the penultimate, I like that word, penultimate, second to last chapter in the story. We're in the second to last chapter in the story, and as we near the end of this series, I want to just say what a joy it has been for me to spend this time with you, as I'm sure Pastor Dan would say the same as well. As we have dug into God's Word together to gain a clearer picture of what the central message of this Bible has to teach. You know, we have these Bibles at home and we read them and we look to them for something more. And yet what we read in these pages is more than a book of rules. It's more than a list of these paragons of the faith. In fact, I would say that we don't find that at all. But within these pages, we read a story that leads us to the person Jesus Christ. True Son of the Father and true God, the Savior and Messiah of the nations, who came to this world that you would put your trust in him for the forgiveness of your sins. And it's in that Savior that the Apostle Paul clung to with his faith and hope. As we read this morning, Paul clings to this Savior with everything that he is. As we read, Paul was not this man that ran away from danger. In fact, this is a man who wrote the words, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." This was a man who certainly lived life in abundant confidence in the gospel, abundant confidence in the victory that Christ has for us. But what does a life of living confident in the promises of Christ look like for us? See, Paul, in the last chapters of his life, you know, he was going back to this city in Jerusalem, this hostile city full of the religious elite that were ready to put him to death, just as they had killed Jesus before him. And even being forewarned, he knew exactly what was waiting for him. Paul responds so simply. Paul tells those who are trying to stop him to go into Jerusalem, I'm ready. I'm ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, that kind of commitment is not an easy thing. And that kind of commitment just kind of reminds me of this morning, because it's a commitment that's not so different from the commitment our confirmands will make this morning. A commitment to affirm their baptized faith. A commitment to follow Jesus in this life no matter what the cost. And that kind of commitment, whether it's from Paul or whether it's from these confirmands or whether it's from us in our lives, that kind of commitment is a scary thing. Because we're committing to a life that may not be easy. You know, I would say we're committing to a life that, in fact, we know isn't going to be easy. We have, all of us, our times of doubt and uncertainty, and trials and tribulations. Christ himself told his disciples that to follow him was to live a life facing certain persecution. You know, I don't think we have any idea of what that really means. I don't think we can really grasp what those early Christians felt and dealt with as they lived for Jesus and were bound and died for the faith. But what I think is so profound, what is so profound about the church in Acts is that this church continued to grow. You know, the apostles, the believers in Jesus, they charged on ahead despite the threats, despite all of the violence, confident in what they believed, confident in the things that they were teaching. And everywhere they went, they were spreading that confidence and hope to anyone who stood close enough to listen to them. You know, it's true that's the kind of boldness that Dr. Rosenblatt was talking about. You know, a confidence that we can speak with boldness because it's not about us. It doesn't rely upon our work or what we do or how we're feeling that particular moment, but it relies solely upon the gracious work of Christ. As Paul wrote in 2 Timothy, and you can read it as well in the story on the bottom of page 456, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, he has saved us, and he's called us to a holy life, not because of anything that we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. It's a powerful thing that we are in Christ's hands. But I think that confidence that's displayed in the life of Paul is even more than this reliance on Jesus. You see, there has to be something more. Not only does this confidence come in this being Christ's work alone, but I think it also comes in that the foundational element is truth. The foundational element is truth. See, what use is any of this if Christ's work is not efficacious to us to bring us true life and forgiveness? What are we doing if none of this is actually true? The power behind the gospel, the power behind this story, is that it is true. This story is true. And as we've gone through this book together and we've read through chapter by chapter, we've made notice of several times to the fact that as we read, we're not talking about myths and legends. I hope you've noticed we're talking about real people. Real people, real places. These are real events. The life and work of Jesus Christ is real. And it's true. And the life and confidence that we see in the Apostle Paul testifies to that. I mean, think about it. This man who was the Pharisee of Pharisees, the one who followed all the laws to the letter, the man, when we first read about him in Acts, is standing over and approving of the murder of the first Christian martyr, Stephen. And then now here in chapter 30, we see the exact opposite. We see a man in Stephen's place. We see a man who's unashamed and unafraid. For Christ is alive. And in him there is hope. And if that's the case, then what greater confidence can we have? Our confidence comes in a commitment to the truth. See, no matter what the world throws at us, our confidence doesn't come in flesh and blood. It doesn't come in the things of this world. Our confidence comes solely in the true and saving work of our Lord Jesus Christ. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor anything in all of creation will be able to separate me, be able to separate us from the love of God that comes in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let that be our confidence. Our Lord is alive. He has overcome all for you. And he's offered to you sure promises of life and forgiveness. Be not ashamed of this gospel, for it is the power of God that brings salvation to all who believe. Amen.